Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the fourth video of the Old Testament Survey course. In this video, we'll look at some overarching ideas that help us to understand the Old Testament as a whole. These ideas summarize God's purpose and actions throughout all the Old Testament, and they give us a framework in which to understand all the details of the Old Testament history and revelation. Now, by the end of this section, I want you to understand the one summarizing purpose that God has in the universe. And I want you to understand four key themes that summarize God's design and plan for his people. These are key themes throughout the Old Testament that give it unity and coherence. Now, there are many themes that run like threads through the entire Old Testament, and some of which we'll look at in the next section. But for now, I want to concentrate on four that help us to understand God's plan and overall purpose. And I want to give credit for this organization, which is influenced by an excellent book called God's Design by Elmer Martens. But they ultimately come from Exodus chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 8. So I invite you to break out your Bible and follow along as we work through this passage. Now, in that passage, God clearly told his design, goal, and purpose for all that he did in the Old Testament. And we're jumping into the middle of a story that we'll cover in detail later. So let me just try to set the context. Moses was sent by God with a mission to lead God's people out of Egypt, where they were slaves. And God had given him miracles to convince the Egyptian leader. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he says, "The God of the Hebrews says, let my people go." And that failed miserably. Pharaoh rejected this command, and he said, "Who is this God who orders me around?" And Pharaoh made the lives of God's people even harder as a result of this. And that's where we pick up the story. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter, starting in verse 22 of chapter 5 and going through chapter 6, verse 8. And again, I suggest you keep your Bible open here for this whole section to make sure that what I'm saying is really true and see it for yourself. Starting in verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I've remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." We see in this passage that Moses goes to God with his problem, and God responds. Now, Moses brought two questions and one accusation. He brought two questions that we see in verse 22. First, he asked, "Why have you brought trouble on the people? You sent me to free the people, and it just got worse. What's up with that?" But then second, he asks, "Why did you send me?" In other words, what are you up to? Now, those are fairly reasonable questions based on what Moses had experienced up to that point. But underneath those questions, Moses makes an accusation in verse 23. He says, Pharaoh has brought trouble on the people, and you haven't rescued them at all. Now, these issues, and especially God's response, summarizes the main ideas of the entire Old Testament. So let's look carefully at how God responds to these issues. First, God deals with the accusation that he has not done anything to rescue his people. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. God says, Pharaoh himself will set them free. Oh, yes, he will. He says, wait for it. I'm not done yet. I won't fail. And God goes on. Pharaoh will let them go. Not only that, he will drive them out, and he will do it because of my mighty hand. In other words, God will go beyond expectations, because God's purpose is not just getting them out of Egypt. God could easily get them out of Egypt. So could a good travel agent. God has much more in mind than just a change of their location and status. God was using that occasion to reveal and accomplish much greater purposes. Then God responds to Moses' questions. First, he responds to the why question by basically saying, this is who I am. God's purposes and activities are a direct result of God's nature and character. He says, I am Yahweh in verse 2. Now, Yahweh is the Hebrew word that is typically translated the Lord. This is God's proper name, his covenant name, which we'll talk about in more detail in a later section. But God says, in essence, I am the uncreated sovereign one. I am the master of all existence. I am free and answerable to no one. Then in verses 3 and 4, he says, I remember the promise I made. And this highlights God's character, that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. In verse 5, he says, I hear the groaning of my people. This also highlights God's character. He is compassionate and cares for his people. Also in verse 5, he says, I remember my covenant. And this again highlights God's character. He is unfailing. He is sovereign. He is in control. Now, whenever the Bible talks about God remembering something, it is not saying that he somehow forgot, but it really means that he is now putting his attention back on that thing, and he's about to do something about it because now is the right time. So God answers the why question by revealing those parts of his character that drive what he is doing and what he's about to do. And then God addressed the what question. He said, in essence, this is what I'm up to. He says, tell Israel, in verse 6, tell them, I am Yahweh. Now, notice the repetition of that important phrase. That's not an accident, but a very important emphasis. He promises, I will rescue you, verse 6. I will get you out of that situation which is doing you the most harm. And he goes on in verse 7, I will take you as my people. He will bring them into a special relationship with himself that no other nation has. And he continues, I will be your God, and you will know that I am Yahweh who rescued you. And that's further elaboration of that special relationship. I will be your God, and you will be my people is a key phrase and promise throughout the Bible that shows up in key passages. So watch for it as you read through the Old Testament. And note that this promise is echoed in the picture of our eternal reward at the end of the book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that is a wonderful promise and hope. And then back in Exodus, in verse 8, God continued, I will bring you to the land which I promised, and I will give you the land as an inheritance. And finally, he ends his explanation with, I am Yahweh, repeating again that very important phrase. Now, what is the point of all that God said to Moses? How does all this make a difference to our understanding of God's purposes in the Old Testament and his working in the universe as a whole? From this story, I want to highlight God's one driving purpose and four themes that elaborate and give expression to this purpose. God's overarching purpose in the whole universe, I think, can be summed up in the phrase, you will know that I am Yahweh. Pay attention to all the times that you see that very phrase repeated throughout the Old Testament. God is displaying his glory for all the universe. He is making himself known. It's extremely important that we know that he is God. And we know that the idols, the substitute gods, the false gods, they are not. Pharaoh is not God. I'm not God. You're not God. He is God. His driving purpose is to make his name known. That is, that we would know his nature and character, what he is like. Not just that he is God, but also what kind of God that he is. Now that means, as an aside, that theology is one of the most important things we can ever do. Remember in the story that Pharaoh says, who is this God? And God, in essence, responds, oh yeah, I will show you who I am. Not only that, I will show the whole earth who I am. God says, in essence, I have orchestrated this whole situation of the Exodus in such a way as to display my glory and proclaim my name so that all will know that I am Yahweh, the Lord. God will not allow that there be any misunderstanding about who is God, who is King of the universe. For instance, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17 says, and the arrogance of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And throughout the Bible, there's many, many verses that talk about all the idols will be shown to be worthless, and God alone will be shown to be the real true God. God is in the business of making it clear to everyone that he is the only God and revealing the kind of God that he is. Now, from that truth, some may imagine that God is an egomaniac throwing around his power and might to force everyone to acknowledge him. But notice the way that he reveals himself, that it actually reveals the kind of God that he is. God is not only great and powerful, he is also good and wonderful. He shows his greatness and goodness, not by taking, but by giving. And the greatest thing that he gives is himself. Now, what that looks like from our point of view is the four themes that summarize his work in the Old Testament. There are four main parts of God's Old Testament plan, which is the same as his New Testament plan, which I am showing you from this Exodus passage. First is salvation. That is deliverance, rescue from what hurts us most. Salvation from the bad is never the last step, but it is preparation for more. Salvation is partly defined by what we are saved from. In the Old Testament, they were saved from Egypt, from false gods. In the New Testament, we're saved from sin and death and false gods. And this does highlight our need for salvation. Because throughout the Bible, there is never any hint that any commands that we save ourselves. We are unable to save ourselves. We need a Savior. And everyone needs to be saved. No one is all right on their own. But salvation is also partly defined by what we are saved to, what we are saved for. We are saved for a purpose and a future, which is defined in the next three themes. The second theme is community. We are to be in relation with other people. God wants no lone rangers. Rather, we are put in a community. God says about Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. We all have need for community, and God gives it to us. He gives us family, friends, neighborhood, and especially a church. That is part of his gracious plan for the Old Testament and for us. And the third theme is relationship. By that, I mean personal relationship with God himself, knowing and experiencing God. And we desperately need a relationship with God. Now, that relationship was broken by sin, and the entire Bible is the story of God restoring that relationship by overcoming sin. And the fourth theme is blessing. In the Exodus, that is God's promise of a gift of land, inheritance, possession, the good life, prosperity, peace. Notice that in Exodus, God promised that he would give his people a land of their own. And in the New Testament, it explains how that applies to Christians. We do need to be careful here. We need to let God and Scripture define what true blessing looks like. Don't think it's winning the lottery and having cars and mansions, etc. If your idea of blessing does not fit very well with salvation, community, and relationship with God, you're missing something. We need God to define and provide what we really need for all of life. Now, a major part of living as God's people is learning to set aside our puny ideas of what we want and need, and learning and submitting to God's great eternal design, which far outweighs our low standards. Jesus said things like, "Blessed are the pure in heart, and blessed are those who are persecuted for his sake." So we need God to help refine our desires so that we desire the things that he thinks are best. Now, the biblical term for this change of desires is repentance from idolatry. Throughout this course, we'll see how these four themes play out in the Old Testament and how each of the four themes relates to the other three. And these themes, they're not just for the people in Moses' time, but they are God's overall worldwide purposes for all time. And that includes ourselves. These four things are God's plan for you and I, for all his people. That is what God promised in Exodus and what he's been working out throughout all of history and into all eternity. And we need to take them to heart if we are to understand and experience what God has been doing and what he has planned for us. So now, let's review. God's overarching purpose for all that he does is to make his name known. And that can be summed up in the catchphrase, "You will know that I am Yahweh." We will know that he is God, and we will know the kind of God that he is. And God's plan for his people can be summed up in the four theme words: salvation, community, relationship, and blessing. Now, I put them in this order so we can remember them and refer to them with the acronym SCRUB. God wants to make SCRUB a reality in your life, and that is something we can all aim for. These, then, are the themes that summarize the Old Testament. Watch for them as we go through the rest of this course and use them as a framework to help you understand and remember. All right, that's all for this section. In the next section, we'll briefly survey some of the other main ideas that we'll see throughout the Old Testament. And I'll see you then. Thanks for watching.